You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
You know, Matt, it's been on the last couple of episodes, but we didn't bring it up because of the way our recording schedule's been. But I have to give full credit to Ross Baker.
He adds legitimacy to this show. Like, I feel like that we might have a chance at being an actual show given the contribution of Ross Baker.
It's funny you say that too, because recently, I think I shared it with you, we got an upgrade. We got a new paint job here at Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, and that is in the form of a new logo, an updated logo, sent to me by Joe Troia, aka JT, a friend of mine. Between Ross Baker's voice and JT's artwork, we almost look like a classy fucking podcast, in my opinion.
Joe did great, and I actually I showed the logo that we are picking from Joe's selection to pro graphic artists in Los Angeles. I was hanging out with a couple of them just earlier, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it and said it looked great.
Yeah, JT for the record, Joe is actually he's a professional graphic artist himself. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it probably makes sense that, you know, like people in that industry probably look for the same things. But the simplicity of it, I mean, there's some subtleties to it. It'll be on this episode. You guys can go to the website Predictably Drunk and take a look at it. I've already skinned the website with this new logo and everything. But basically, it looks like a beer bottle cap, and then you've got a microphone, and then the microphone speaker part of that microphone is actually filled with beer. So I think it encapsulates you and me perfectly, talking a lot of crap while drinking things.
So, and that brings up the last weekend where I was up in the Bay Area, and, you know, the best part of going back to the Bay Area is always the sappy shit. It's getting to see the people I love and cherish and adore. But it's always made better that I when I get to see those people and drink during it. And that's what we did. It was the diaper party. It's the male equivalent to a baby shower, but it is truly the male version. Baby showers take a lot of fucking work. There's decoration. A lot of time is put into it. Diaper parties is basically you hitting up your friends for what would cost you money later on. They bring a box of diapers and then you drink together. That's fucking it. It's just so simplistic and great. And so that's what we did on Saturday. We just hung out and drank and fucking shat the shit. And I got a shit ton of diapers now. So that was great.
I do have a confession to make. And the confession is that, A, first of all, I was very hungover when I showed up to this this quote-unquote diaper party, which was being held at a bar, which was phenomenal because I had a show the night before, and I got rip-roaring drunk, and all of a sudden I woke up at my friend Steve's house, who's been on the show many times, and drove down without showering, drove down to a town called Pleasanton, met up at a local sports bar at noon with Matt.
Well, hold on. You're missing a crucial part of this story. What did Steve do for you when you woke up?
Steve, very good point. Steve actually, Steve is the best housewife of all time because the man is a maniac, but he is a fantastic cook. And on top of that, he loves to cook for his friends and entertain. And he needs like this constant like approval from people, even people that have been in like his best friend for 25 years. He just needs this approval. So he wakes up and makes me this phenomenal spread for breakfast. I felt like a king. Like I had a show, got done with the show, had a great show, go back to his house, you know, drink a little bit. And all of a sudden he's making me this fat breakfast, this big meal. It was fantastic. And then the next day I got to go up and go drink with my buddies all day at this diaper party. So it was shout out to Steve for the meal. Now everything was like hot sauce and peppers and meat. So it was just this humongous rot gut of food sitting in my stomach on top of the alcohol that I had the night before. So I really wasn't in the mood to just rage when we got to the bar at noon, but I do. That's not my confession. My confession.
Well, hold on. Leading up to this, I get a text from, I'm waiting for people to show up right at my house. We're going to talk about this.
I thought maybe we were going to bypass it.
Nope. There's no fucking boundaries here on Predictably Drunk. I get one of the best texts of all time. I wish I had my phone next to me so I could look it up for a verbatim, but it was along the lines of, I'm currently shitting my soul out at a Home Depot. And I just fucking died for like 5 minutes straight after I read that. It was one of the best texts of all time that I've received. And I knew immediately what that meant. I knew that on his way to meeting us, the shit was so extraordinary that he had to stop at the closest place possible, and that ended up being Home Depot. I thank you for that text, man, because that really fucking made my day.
Well, look, I was about 45 minutes away from where we were supposed to be meeting, and the text, I will read it verbatim, is currently shitting my soul out at a Home Depot. Be there shortly. So, you know, I wanted to let my friend know where I was so that he didn't think, hey, this asshole's late, he's big timing me, anything like that. No, that wasn't the case. The case was I ate 55 different dead animals in one meal right before leaving there on top of amounts of booze that I shouldn't even be discussing on here, even unpredictably drunk. And I'm driving on this rocky ass road, and it's just rumbling and tumbling and dropping lower into my colon to a point where I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants, or I'm going to have to shit in a public restroom. And just for the record, maybe we'll do this another time. We once did the top, you know, the worst fast food restaurants. Maybe I'll do the best public places to shit, because quite frankly, Home Depot is the best place to shit if you're in a hurry. Or if you just have to shit in public, because A, the stalls are very roomy. They're very, you know, wide, which is great. B, it's a Home Depot, so you can literally just shit on the floor and nobody's going to really care. I mean, they're like, well, it's Home Depot. I kind of expected shit on the floor.
Right.
And they're slightly better than Lowe's, because after I left that Home Depot, I was like 3 or 4 exits away from where we were going to meet. And I got off on that exit, and all of a sudden I had to shit again. And to my left was actually where I was meeting you, which has the worst toilet of all time in that bar, in that establishment.
Oh, yeah.
Or to the right, there was a brand new Lowe's improvement store. And I was like, you know what? It's just like a Home Depot. Not quite as good as Home Depot, but they're going to have shitters there. I'll just go in there. Now, I don't really care for the Lowe's shitters because, A, it's too clean in there. So you take a shit, people are very aware that you're shitting in there.
Right.
B, when you go to a Home Depot bathroom, it's always in the back or off to the side somewhere, so you can just, like, you know, hide your shame off to the side. You know, it's like the Florida of bathrooms. It's like just over there, kind of go do your stuff, hang out over there, go fuck up everything you gotta fuck up, right? So the Lowe's bathrooms are right behind the registers. So not only
off.
Yeah, and it's not only right behind the registers, but right next to the public bathroom where I'm shitting my brains out for the second time in 30 minutes, it are the offices where all the employees go and hang out. It's where everybody has to check out their items and leave the Lowe's. So you walk into the Lowe's, there's almost like a clock there, like, is this guy pissing or shitting? And if you're there over 3 minutes, they know that you're dumping in there.
A guy with a stopwatch is fucking like, hey, get out of there.
It's very, I'm very aware that they're very aware that I'm shitting, if that makes any sense. Like Home Depot, you could just walk in there, go take a shit, and people are like, oh, maybe he was looking at some fucking mortar in the back. Like, we don't know what he was up to. I mean, he, but with Lowe's, you're very aware that you're shitting, and they're very aware that you're shitting, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the worst part about it is they kind of give that guilty look, like, dude, you're using our shitter. You can at least buy like a pack of gum or a Rockstar on the way out. And I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, the stink lines are coming off of me. I have to go to a bar and drink some more so I can shit at another establishment later.
Right,
so
of course.
If I'm ranking the big box home improvement stores, I'm going to go with the Home Depot bathroom above the Lowe's bathroom.
You heard it here, people. I think we should do an episode about emergency shits, like top 5 emergency shits between the two of us, because I know I have at least 2 stories, probably more, that are very entertaining at a time that I really needed to shit, and I was not in a situation that was very convenient for shitting.
No, absolutely. We're going to do that. I have one where I actually clogged a hotel bathroom, and I actually am now banned from that hotel. So that would be a good story to tell as well. But we'll do that another time. So the point is, I haven't even gotten to my confession yet.
I'm sorry. We fucking sidetracked the shit out of here.
Yeah, we pulled off and took a shit on this podcast, essentially.
We did. We Home Depot'd it.
So to kind of recap back to this 10 minutes into the story, Matt was having a diaper party. And for the people that don't know what a diaper party is, it is the pussification of men, where when the women have have a baby shower with all their female friends. The guys were able to just kind of run off and do whatever they want or just not be around. That doesn't happen in 2016 anymore. You can't get away with that as the men. You have to be, you know, involved on some level, which is a good, you know, I'm not saying don't be involved with your kid, but you used to be able to just go away and drink. Now you can't do that. You have to go away and drink and buy diapers. And so that way you're involved, right? Like you're bringing diapers in. I have to tell you, my daughter is now potty trained. I am out of diapers. If you were to do inventory of all the diapers that you got from that party, you're going to be short at least one pack of diapers, my friend, because I flat out refuse to bring diapers to your diaper party.
Yeah, you did.
I brought no diapers to the diaper party, and I did that out of, A, because I am refusing to partake in such unmanly, manly activities, and B, I just got out of having to buy diapers, like, at a necessity. Like, I couldn't do it as an option. You know what I mean? Like,
what a sack of shit.
I know. And a sack of shit is kind of what diapers are, if you really think about it. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, I know Matt needs diapers, but quite honestly, I'm not ready to go back to the diaper aisle and buy diapers yet. Like, I can't have that on my receipt. I can't have it on this month's credit card bill, Matt. I just couldn't do it. So my apologies to you. My apologies to your lovely wife. My apologies to your son, who will be walking around with no diapers on for a couple of weeks at some point.
Right, because of you. Because Uncle fucking Sam, yeah. God damn it. Is that your PTSD then, I guess? Yeah. Is that?
I went to the store and I walked down the diaper aisle and I'm like, I can't fucking do this. Like,
you balled up in a fucking, in an infant like pose, and you started shaking and hugging your knees on the floor. And, I understand. I don't want to hurt you in any way by asking for that kind of thing. I'm just glad that you showed up looking like terrible dog shit. And you did. You look fucking horrible.
Did I look bad?
The noises that you were making, like you just moan, like you would just fucking like,
like a zombie grunt, like a visceral zombie grunt.
Unsolicited fucking misery is what you brought to the table.
I had weird fucking shows that week. I can't even explain the shows and the type of hecklers I got at these events. It didn't make any sense to me. So that was partially why I was drinking so bad. Another part of it is I was drinking with the feature comic who is in his 20s. This guy's 25 years old and he's like, okay, you want to go out? I'm like, no, I want to go to bed. And I had to go out the night before and, like, you know, entertain him for like fucking, I don't know. It was probably this guy named Lyle Barron's, good guy. 25 years old. He's actually, I think he's currently right now, as you guys are listening to this, headlining in Hawaii right now. But nice. he's 25 and he loves being out, which is, I guess, what 25-year-olds do. But I'm like, dude, this is going to cause me to have to shit at four different places tomorrow, which is exactly what it ended up doing. We had a great time.
You're going to be the guy who wants to go out at like 55. Like, and that's part of why I love you is that you know how to have a good time. But unfortunately, per our story, it catches up with you a little bit more frequently now. And I also want to say something. It is a fucking honor knowing Steve Curry. Like, just knowing Steve Curry and having him remember my name is one of my great life accomplishments.
Oh, God. Suck his dick on another podcast. Why? What is with the Steve love? I mean, he's my best friend, but why?
He is your best friend. You should speak highly of Mr. Nipples. I don't know. It's he's such a fucking character. He's such a weird guy.
That is true.
But I know that he's seen and done a lot of weird shit, and to have any amount of respect from a person like that, it's an honor. It's a total honor.
You know, it's funny. I was told by a pretty well-known comic who got to meet Steve and spend some time with Steve as well as myself. And I kind of warned the guy. I said, look, this guy's a maniac. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This guy's a maniac. He's not for everybody. I love the guy, of course. And the comic just said, you know, screw your act. All you should do from here on out is just do 30 minutes a night telling stories of your friend Steve.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, my act is pretty much stories of Steve. I just changed his name, already, you know? Yeah. So yeah, no, Steve is a character. He's like one of those, I'm like Diane Fossey, and he's one of the gorillas in the mist that I have to take notes about, and I just report back on stage. Like, I'm a reporter. I'm not even a comedian. I'm just a reporter of, guess what the moron did today.
If you told me that on tonight's podcast you'd be name dropping Diane fucking Fossey, I'd tell you to go fuck yourself. That was amazing. I did not expect that.
Look, gorillas in the mist, gorillas in the zoo. Gorillas are very popular this week, Matt.
It's a hot topic.
Was a gorilla that was. I didn't even read the story. You might have to inform me. We're going way off the rails, but fuck it. We're rolling with it.
A kid
fell into the enclosure. Thank you for where the gorilla is. Gorilla grabbed the kid, started fucking sprinting like crazy, and then stopped and kind of looked at the kid like, "Oh fuck, you're a kid. You're probably not going to be here." And then, I saw the video. The gorilla literally looked at the kid like
dragging him around. Yeah,
yeah. But he stopped at one point, man. He looked at the kid and he was just like, "You know, you're going to get my ass shot." And then, like, you know, like 2 minutes later, he was fucking dead. And everyone's freaking out about, you know, you didn't have to kill the gorilla. You didn't have to do it. The parents should have been watching the kid. It's a fucking kid, ladies and gentlemen. It's a kid. Yeah. Like, yeah. If you, Matt, I'm giving you advice. At one point in the future, when your kid is out and not wearing diapers that Uncle Sam didn't buy little Jack, yeah. You're going to lose your kid. Stacy, your wife is going to lose the kid. It's going to happen. Shit, like you'll look up and look down and be like, "Where the hell did the kid go?" And the kid will be like on the roof, and you're not even sure how much time it even lapsed in order for that to even happen. It just happens. Now, granted, you don't usually lose your kid to a fucking gorilla, but you got to shoot the gorilla, right? Like you have to shoot the gorilla.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of controversy now. A lot of people are jumping to the conclusion of, oh, those were bad parents, without fully knowing the fucking story. Or, you know, honestly, I've heard a lot of shit from people who are not parents at all. And it's like, well, shut the fuck up.
Those people are never allowed to have an opinion on anything to do with kids until they have kids themselves.
Yeah, I've had that problem pretty recently. Then there is the zoos are evil argument that's sprouting up, which I don't think I agree with either. It's a fucking stupid situation where nobody is right, and it's this man controls all, and we should be goddamn ashamed of it. It's stupid. Fucking try to watch your kid, but if not, like, a gorilla's gonna die, whatever. Like, fucking let's not make a deal out of it.
Zoos are evil, but zoos are evil just because the only animals that you can guarantee to see every single time are birds and deer. That's it. Like 55 fucking different types of deer and birds. That's all you ever get to see. And occasionally a monkey, but like the tigers are always lazy pieces of shit.
They're the worst.
They just sit there and don't do anything. Like we come to the zoo to watch the tigers, the elephants, and the giraffes. And the last time I went to the zoo, the elephants literally turned their back on me and just showed me their asshole the entire time. The giraffes just kind of like crane their neck down to not even look like a giraffe. They look like some sort of like retarded horse. And then like the lions and the tigers didn't even come out of their little fucking caves. I was like, fuck the zoo. Like I want my money back. I can see deer in, you know, like on the streets in Oakland. Like I don't need to go to the zoo.
Yeah. You just go to Dublin, California. Yeah. You'll see plenty of deer. I think giraffes are fucking dope. I want a giraffe myself. But yeah, they don't do much. Like there's not, I think the wonder is for the children. The wonder of the zoo is for the children. They get to see animals that they don't get to see on a regular basis. And it is educational. But it's also evil. It's a fucking catch 22, you know, like it's fucked up to take them out of their habitat and cage them up and say like, "Hey, fucking, you know, gawk at this shit 24/7 you know, it's I don't know. I don't fucking care, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's thank you. I was about to say, we're spending an awful lot of time on something that I don't really give a shit about. It is educational, and I think the first time anybody ever learned anything about the zoo was actually this week when if a kid falls into the enclosure, an animal's getting fucking shot. That's just the bottom line. I mean, I don't know. A gorilla would have just mauled that thing at like 2 seconds after, and people are like, "Oh, hit it with a trank." Well, a trank just, it's not like cartoons, people. You can't hit a gorilla with a tranquilizer and have it just pass out right there. It's not going to work that way. It takes a long time. And if you shoot a gorilla with a trank, like you pierce the skin of this behemoth thing with a child right there, he's going to go, "You know what? Fuck this. I've got about 3 minutes before I'm starting to feel drowsy. I'm just going to, you know, pummel this fucking kid's face in." It would have been a bad idea. You got to cap the gorilla, and that's just the, you know, all there is to it.
The man is in charge. Man is going to win that argument. If it's man pitted against animal, it's going to be man every time. Don't be fucking surprised when this shit happens. It's going to happen. Like, and then move on and not make a goddamn big deal out of it. What I would like to make a big deal out of is how I totally fucking nailed the Bananarama question at trivia tonight, bar trivia. There was a subject, it was a topic of planets, and I am telling this story horribly because I can't remember the song title, but the question was, hey, here's a song title that has to do with planets.
I'm Your Venus.
Who was it? Oh, fucking Jesus. There it is. Okay. Oh. Yes. Very good. You were way more present at trivia than I was, and I was actually there and you weren't. They nailed that out, and then the hint was it was by this fruity female trio band in 1986, and I'm like, fucking Bananarama?
And yeah, we baby, got he's it. Got it. You've got it.
I got it. And there was that. And then there was a completely bullshit thing that I pulled straight out of my a-hole. It was just general knowledge. That was the topic. What musical features the song Dreams Are Enough or some dumb shit that I didn't listen to, obviously. Nope. And I'm like, hey, Joseph and the fucking Technicolor Dreamcoat. I've never seen that. I don't know why that my brain did that. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I watch zero musicals. I hate them, and anyone who likes them are complete cunts. And it was right. It was fucking right, Sam. Like, I couldn't understand it. It was a miracle.
Well, you were right about musicals, but I would put people who watch musicals are probably the people most likely to go to trivia night at a bar. What are you doing? You, Matt, immediately, this is Predictably Drunk. You are the co-host of the authority on drinking for the internet, and you should know well enough that if you walk into a bar and they said, hey, we're having, you know, trivia night, that's when you go, well, right, we're going up to another bar. Yeah. Like, we're not staying here. This is the whitest thing I've ever heard you do.
Yeah.
I'm
Canadian.
You didn't like stumble into this and be like, oh shit, we're already here. Like, let's fucking trivia. You're like, we're going to trivia night, correct?
Right. Well, it was an invite, to be fair. It wasn't my idea.
So you did this with other people.
I love the idea, though. I wipe people the shit out of that idea. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you went with like another, so you went on a double date to trivia night at a bar. Like, you had game night on a Tuesday night. Like, did you guys have matching turtlenecks and Dockers? Like, what? Oh my God. You have to move to like Iowa or some other white place. Like, you can't stay in California anymore.
We wore matching zoo sweaters, is what we did. The whitest thing any two people can do.
And if the four of you like stood next to each other, it was the whole scene of the gorilla getting shot while the child.
We were there in the video. Yeah.
Wow.
No, it was, it apparently this is a thing. And I had no idea. Someone told me about it. I was like, okay, that sounds,
I'm sorry. I'm cutting you fun. Off. I'm blown away by this.
No, I was honestly a little blown away too. We have done it at a different, and this is only a month. This has been happening for a month. This has not been a long-standing thing. We tried a different bar and it opened up the fucking Pandora's box of things white people do. It that bar does it twice a week.
Oh my
this
God.
Bar that we go to usually just does it once a week on Tuesdays. We found out that the bar right next to where we work does it on Mondays. This is a fucking thing in Los Angeles.
God.
I'm sure it's a thing other places too, like where you don't have anything to do but like murder people and cook meth. It's a serious goddamn thing. And these people who do it, you know that they don't do anything else. This is trivia guy. That's his fucking job.
That is his. No, I was gonna say. So, as a comedian, every now and then we get like weird gigs sent to us, right? Like people are like, hey, I need a host for this. Or I've been offered down in LA. I've been offered to host an auction for raising money for rescue dogs. And on the same weekend, I got offered to host a trivia night at a bar. And I was like, give me the dog thing. Like, I don't want no part of this trivia nonsense. You keep digging yourself further and further down this white people tunnel here. So you're telling me you guys went to a bar on Mondays. It was trivia night. Like, I can see it one time. You walk in, you're like, okay, trivia's happening. We're already here. We're fucking lazy. We're just going to roll with this, right? Okay, well, it's like bowling. Like, you never plan to go bowling. but every now and then you're bowling. Like you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm bowling. Like, oh, I'm in this trivia contest. But you leave there and but when you leave the bowling alley, Matt, you're never like, you know what? That was fun. We should plan on doing that again next week. You guys actually left there and went, that was so much fun. We have to find other bars that do this more frequently. Like we can't just have Mondays. Like we need Tuesdays and Thursdays too.
Yeah. Yeah. We went for fucking trivia. It wasn't a mistake. It was for trivia. And again, to be fair, it was an invite by someone else, but we fucking love it. And we've been back for like 3 or 4 weeks now.
You guys are probably giving each other like fucking white elephant gifts at Christmas and other disgusting, horrible shit that white people do.
I fucking hate myself. The only
of course you do. You went to trivia night.
The only other thing that's worse than trivia night or bar is karaoke.
Karaoke is I was going to say that the two kind of go hand in hand. Like the karaoke nights are usually more for like your Thursday night crowd, your Friday night crowd when you've got more people in there. But that's awful too. I mean, the only thing that saves karaoke is if you get some jerk off who's going to go up there and, you know, ironically sing a song and horribly, you know, make it bad. And then other people get mad at that person for ruining karaoke night. But other than that, there's no redeeming value for karaoke. I think karaoke's awful.
I don't live there anymore, but I used to live in a place in Los Angeles that was right across the street from a bar. And it was a karaoke lounge. Now, the nice thing about living across the street from a bar is you go out, you go to where you actually want to fucking go. And then you get home and you're like, you know what? I want one more drink with the people that I'm hanging out with. Let's just walk over. Like you don't have to worry about driving anymore. It's so convenient.
Wait, hold on. I don't want to interrupt your story too much. I've been to this bar, correct?
Yeah, I think you did. It doesn't matter. I can't remember.
Well,
the fucking name.
I don't care about the name of the bar, but there was a certain type of karaoke going on there when we went in there.
Yeah. Okay. We're there. And so it's nice to have that convenience, but it's fucking miserable when it's a karaoke bar. You can literally stand one drink at this place before you lose your goddamn mind with all these people ruining songs that you love. And they thought, okay, we'll switch it up. Let's change karaoke. Let's make it better. Let's do porn star karaoke night on Tuesdays.
Yep.
And that's a fucking thing. That's a thing that they do there.
We were there. I remember this.
It's horrifying because it's just a bunch of fucking guys in fucking raincoats going there to jerk off. And most of the porn stars are men. It made karaoke worse in an attempt to make karaoke better. Karaoke is the fucking devil. Just the worst thing. Like, let's make this professional song by professionals. Let's give that to the ranks of people who can't fucking sing, who are working in an office, who it's not their business to sing songs. It's not their goddamn business. Let's allow them to just shit all over good sounding songs. Awful. But trivia, I know, is quite fucking white rice of me.
I can't wait till porn star trivia hits and then you can be in there and watch you start answering questions about Bananarama then, and your wife's gonna look at you like, wait a minute, why do you know this? It would be fun to do at a karaoke bar. I wonder if it's been done yet, but as a comedian it'd be good to like sign up for a song and then do your set while in like the rhythm of that song.
Go.
Like you're doing Ebony and Ivory and you're like, I'm from the bad part of San Jose called San Jose. That's not even Ebony and Ivory. I don't know what that is, but something like, you know, you just, you sing your act, but you know, to the song. That I might do that. That might be kind of fun.
Called All of San Jose. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. How many murders have been on your street? Like have we approached double digits?
No, my neighborhood's calmed down because I think everybody's dead. Like there's no more murders to be had. Like we just ran out of people.
Can't kill the dead. Yeah.
You know, but when I first moved here, to your point, there was a van parked in front of my house and I left to go to Santa Cruz for the day and just hang out at the beach. And by the time I got home, like I live in a townhouse, so I've got, you know, neighbors on either side, and the entire street was police taped off, and I'm driving up and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh, well, you know, we found a body. I'm like, oh, where did you find a body? And they're like, oh, in this van over here, which I personally, first of all, I think that was probably too much information for the guy rolling the tape out to be telling me. I felt like, you know, one of those characters, like a journalist in a CSI show or something, where like the one guy who probably doesn't know anything is telling me all this information. And then second of all, I'm like, oh, that van's parked in front of my house, which was probably the wrong thing to say to a detective, because then I had to go answer a bunch of questions about, you know, how long was the van there? And it turned out it was a lady who'd gotten her throat slashed by some humongous guy. He might have been a gorilla at the zoo. He just fucking like sliced her throat and left her in her own van, and she was naked. It was weird.
Should have tracked him.
Yeah. Yeah, but it. But no, we haven't had any murders here in a while. We do have a weird thing going on here. Every sporting event that's going on, your San Jose Sharks are in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Golden State Warriors just made the NBA Finals. So every time they make a shot or, you know, check somebody, somebody shoots off a firework or a gun. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's like,
no shit, really.
Yeah, like, settle the fuck down. Like, you guys, come on. Can we wait to the end of the game?
But, yeah.
Yeah,
or even the end of the series, like, calm your shit.
I want
you to tell this story. I want, this is an insane story that we should end on.
Yeah.
Now we told the story of your involvement with this person?
Okay,
before?
So if you go to predictablydrunk.com, you're going to have to search for it a little bit because, you know, right now it's primarily just hosting the podcast, but I used to blog on there, and I have a blog that's called Not My Proudest Moment. And one of the entries that I had in there was actually a two-parter, Matt. And it was about a time where this lady came over to my house very drunk. And I think I might have told the story on the podcast before. But basically, long story short, she got obliterated drunk at my house. And she ended up peeing in my bed. We shared a bed. There was no sex or anything going on like that. She was just very drunk. And she needed to spend the night. And she's like, well, can I just sleep in the bed? I don't want to sleep on the couch. And I said, sure, no problem. So I made like a little pillow fort in between us. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and I'm swimming in my own bed. And I thought I had peed in the bed, but it turned out she peed in the bed. So there was a big long thing about it, and you know, I never told her about it. I wrote an article about it, but I never told her about it.
That's the best way to tell somebody about something.
Yeah, and hopefully she's not listening to this because now she's going to know. But it turns out she's a serial bed pisser. Like, I've talked to other people, like, dude, she just pees on everything. Don't even worry about it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Christ.
She's like an incontinent dog.
Territory. Wonderful. Yeah.
So,
by the way, Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about dumb things. I am drinking Founders Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale.
Wow.
That's Scotch Ale's fucking delicious.
Scotch Ale's, you got to sip on those, though. Some people want to, like, drink those things like they're frat boys, and that shit.
It's not beer pong.
No.
It's not a beer pong beer. But it's so goddamn tasty.
Look at you. You are on another level. Scotch Ale's are, that's a refined.
Fancy,
right?
I got my fancy pants on today. I'm gonna go grab another one, so you continue with where this is going.
Yeah, so I was talking to Matt a little bit before we jumped on the air here, and so my friend, she shall remain nameless, but she peed in my bed, no big deal. I mean, the article that I wrote in my blog, you can read about it. It's called The Impromptu Waterbed, Part 1 and Part 2, and you can get the whole story behind it. It's a pretty entertaining read, actually. But the point is, she no longer lives in California. She lives in another state. And I don't talk to her too often. Every now and then, we'll just say hey to each other, whatever the case may be, you know, just as friends do. But at one point, it's funny, I can hear Matt opening up his beer and everything in the background. He's trying to be quiet. At one point here recently, I get a message from her, and she's like, hey, I have some news for you. And she sends me this link to an article in Oklahoma about a man who was recently arrested for building bombs in his house that he planned on blowing up himself, his ex-fiance, and anybody who'd been in contact with her. If you couldn't tell by now, the ex-fiance was her, and this guy that she was engaged to apparently went off the deep end. I don't know why. I'm not even going to speculate as to why. Meth. But he ended up apparently sending her a bunch of crazy texts about, you know, how like this was going to be taped underneath the barbecue pit, and this stuff will be mailed to her mom's house, and all these just like weird, obscure and just weird references that, you know, was he going to hurt himself? Was he going to hurt somebody? So I'm reading this article, and this dude's been building bombs in his house and was trying to, she sent me a series of text messages where he was trying to convince her to come over to the house. pick up her stuff. And oh, it'll be like he was saying, your stuff will be underneath the barbecue pit. Well, come to find out that the entire house was pretty much booby trapped with bombs. I mean, he was planning on blowing this bitch up, and I shouldn't even call her a bitch, but he was planning on blowing her up.
She didn't pee your bed. I mean, come on.
Well, look, she peed my bed, and I wasn't that angry. She must have shit in his bed. Like, that's the only thing I can think of as to why a guy would be so. But he like took the time, and they tracked him. Of course, they tracked this dude because they just went and went like, okay, well, how do you build these bombs? And they tracked everything that he bought at local, you know, hardware stores like probably Home Depot and Lowe's, where he was stopping to take shits and then buying bomb materials.
This is the like anarchist cookbook,
more or less. I mean, he had pipe bombs. He had all kinds of stuff. I mean, he wasn't going to take down a federal building, but he could have definitely killed somebody with this type of shit. So I was just reading this dumbfounded, and I'm reading this article, and I'm kind of like, man, I look at this guy, and I'm like, I think I know this guy. I'm like friends with this dude on Facebook.
Jesus.
Or at least I was. Like, I'm not anymore. But apparently, you know, this was my friend's now ex-fiance, and he was planning on blowing her up, man. I've never heard of somebody taking a breakup to that extreme where you're like, you know what, I'm going to build a bomb and blow her up.
I think that it was when she peed your bed, you were like, I wish I knew how to build bombs, but I don't. So fuck it.
I'll write a scathing blog about her on my on my website instead.
That'll show her.
Blogs, not bombs. That should be the slogan.
That's a good slogan. Why did she share this with, like, why did she think to share this with you?
Well, this individual, she you know, when she gets drunk or when she panics, for whatever reason, she's always like called me. Like, I'll get random calls from her at like 3 a.m. sometimes about dumb stuff. Like, I'm drunk at a bar, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, great. You live, you know, on the other side of the continent. I can't do anything for you.
Yeah.
So I think she just messaged me to be like, hey, did you ever, like, you never responded to any of my calls or anything? I'm like, I don't think I got any calls from you. And she's like, oh, you were like the one time that I actually needed help, I didn't actually call you. That's kind of funny. So I asked her, well, what are you talking about? And she said, well, I'm going to be moving, you know, probably moving back to California because, you know, I don't feel like I should stay here anymore after almost getting murdered. And I go, well, okay, now I'm interested in the story. And she sends me the article, and she sends me the photos of the guy's house that's all booby trapped and everything. It was pretty crazy, man.
And it was Tulsa, right?
It was around there.
Yeah. Why did she move to where she moved to?
Well, she's originally from there. She's originally from from that place. So she went back there, and I guess just to kind of go back, and then she almost gets blown up by her you know, soon to be husband.
What do you think drives a man to really take on the conviction to say, here's a crazy idea I have in my head, let's make it a reality?
Building a bomb. I mean, that takes time, that takes money, that takes resources, that takes research. Because nobody's just like, everybody knows how to shoot a gun, but nobody really knows, like, I know how to make a bomb. Like, you just don't know how to do that shit. So this guy had to go and like Google it and then figure out, okay, where can I find all this stuff? He probably went on YouTube and figured out how to build a bomb. And then he's like building bombs just as a hobby, like they're around his house. It's crazy to me. Like that's a level of hatred that I don't think you can replicate on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, you go like, okay, so the genesis of it is, what if I did something really drastic? And then to take that to practicality in the way of a, like, home aloneing your fucking house with actually lethal, like, it's not innocent, you know, blowing feathers on somebody. Like, it's I'm going to fuck this person up.
How great would it have been if he'd actually home alone his house, though? Like, you know, with paint and paint buckets and shit like that instead of bombs. That would have been, like, he just invites her over, like, hey, come get your stuff, and then just waylays her with a fucking paint bucket.
She sets on a fucking nail or something. Yeah, but it's to maintain that level of hate, I guess, is the word. It, through the process of not only building these bombs, which takes time, but then trapping your house. Like, he was so fucking convicted. He was so convinced that he, like, this was the thing to do. This was the thing to do. Completely detached from reality, which is, don't fucking murder people.
crazy to me too was like he booby trapped his own house. I can't find my keys on a daily basis to leave the house. Like I can't imagine like hiding a bomb and then like the next day like open this. I'm like,
sat on the toilet and just fucking boom. Yeah.
Well, speaking of bombing, I'll be at the Beef and Brew in Diamond Springs, California, on June 18th, Saturday, June 18th. The Beef and Brew, Matt, and Diamond Springs.
That sounds like another shitisode. Like that's an episode of shitting for you.
Apparently the beef is very good there. I was told the food is very good, and the people show up and they laugh, and it's a bunch of old people that show up and want you to be foul-mouthed and dirty, so it plays to my strength. So June 18th, Diamond Springs. If you don't know where Diamond Springs is, join the club. I think it's up nearby Placerville, if I'm not mistaken.
Where is Placerville?
Yeah, it's somewhere over there. I don't know. It's not anywhere near here. It's over there.
Good luck, people.
Yeah, June 18th, Beef and Brew. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
And what else is going on? I guess that's probably it. We should probably wrap this up. This has been a long episode.
I need to see you again. I need to see you doing stand-up again. It's been too long.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get booked to host the trivia night next Tuesday.
There we go.
And we'll set it up there. I'll just roast you the entire time.
Good. Please do. Please do. I deserve it entirely. But yeah, no, really though, it's been entirely too many months since I've seen you doing that, and it's enjoyable. People, you should go every chance that you have. Beef and Brew, that sounds great. Beef and Brew and laughing at Sam. That's there's nothing better.
That is a Saturday night if I've ever heard one. June 18th, Beef and Brew.
All right,
whatever the fuck we're at, Diamond Springs, California.
Diamond Springs. That's where you go to die for sure.
It's in the name. I mean, Diamond Springs. Yeah. Well, whatever. My career is going so well. Diamond Springs. Other than that, you guys can go to predictablydrunk.com. You can go to iTunes, rate us, review us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You can do all that kind of stuff. Subscribe to us. This thing's getting more and more popular, ladies and gentlemen. You should be getting in on the ground floor right now. So iTunes, Predictably Drunk, rate, review us, predictablydrunk.com. You can find me on Twitter at TigerClomedy. But that's pretty much it, ladies and gentlemen, predictablydrunk.com. This is Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things like gorillas getting shot, like hockey, like bombs being made and shitting in Home Depot.
This was a menagerie for your diarrhea.
This everything we talked about is what fell out of me inside of that Home Depot. Like that's I blame my colon for this week's news cycle.
Not the first time I've blamed your colon for things.
Nope, it won't be the last either. But it was fun, and until next time, I guess we'll have to listen to Ross Baker do Ross Baker things on the way out of here.
Fuck you, Ross Baker. I love you.
And also, I forgot to mention, I had a shot at tequila while we were talking, because you, again, were so rude and did not even ask me what I was drinking on my own damn show.
I fucking opened it up, and you kept quiet. What kind of tequila?
Oh, it's Tres Agaves, because that's what I have in my cabinet.
Jesus, that's the Gordon's vodka of tequila.
Oh, you're gonna talk shit to me after? Well, you know what? You're doing the Cask Ale. That's right. So you're fucking Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah, I am. I'm better than you. Thank you.
All right, everybody, we'll see you guys next time. Until then, keep drinking.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, with your host Sam Marcoux and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's parasitic. I don't think that anyone or anything is good enough.